You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Mohamed Harkat arrived in Canada in 1995, claiming refugee status. In 1997, he was recognized as a convention refugee. But in 2002, everything changed. Today, he faces deportation to Algeria, where he is at serious risk of being tortured. Mohamed Harkat has never been charged with a crime. He has never had an opportunity to face his accusers in open court. Yet the Canadian government has imprisoned him for many years. Human rights activist Sophie Harkat, wife of Mohamed Harkat, joins us from Ottawa to discuss further the tormented saga of her husband. Welcome, Sophie, to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Mohamed came to Canada in 1995 seeking refugee status. He was free until 2002. What happened to him in 2002 and subsequently?
2002, on December the 10th, which also happens to be International Human Rights Day, he was arrested under a security certificate, which is a tool used by immigration to detain and without charge and without access to the evidence, refugees and immigrants that the government calls so-called threat to national security. He was then sent to jail, where he spent 43 months in detention, 1 year in solitary confinement, was then later transferred to a facility that was built specifically to house security certificate detainees, which we deem Guantanamo North, which are on the grounds of the Kingston Penitentiary, and then later released on bail in June of 2006 under the toughest conditions in Canadian history. And so he has been under house arrest for the past 4.5 years now.
And the latest decision in his case came in December. What was the decision?
Well, it's very important to explain that in February of 2007, we challenged the Supreme Court of Canada on the security certificate law, and the process was deemed unconstitutional. So in 2008, my husband and all the other men were reissued new security certificates. Since then, two have been quashed, and my husband's certificate was upheld on December the 9th, which is the day before his 8-year anniversary of his arrest and International Human Rights Day. It was upheld. We also lost the application on abuse of process, and constitutionality was also denied. And so basically that becomes an automatic deportation order. The judge basically said that my husband lied and I was not truthful based on secret evidence, which was never cross-examined properly. For example, the informants in our case were never cross-examined by special advocates, which were an addition after the Supreme Court challenge. And so the process remains very secretive. So, yes, we lost our decision on December the 9th, and the certificate was found to be reasonable on probabilities on the lowest standards of courts in Canadian history. And our lives have been ruined by these allegations.
Was the decision a surprise?
Oh, a total surprise. We had some of the best experts in the world, and the CSIS had abused the process on numerous occasions. I'll explain to you quickly what happened since my husband's arrest. Number one, they destroyed every piece of information they had in their hands concerning my husband. Every intercept, every interview, every note was destroyed by CSIS, so they have no original material. All they have are transcripts. Two, the informant, the main informant in my husband's case, failed the lie detector test prior to my husband's arrest, and CSIS failed to tell the court on the first try with the first judge and on the second turn, but the judge made an inquiry and found out that, but still decided to go on the side of the informant because he said some of the information that, although was coming from a failed lie detector test, was corroborated probably by my husband's own testimony. Three, they listened to solicitor-client calls until they were caught. Four, they raided our house 2 weeks prior to our first hearing after the security certificate was reissued. They took 20 boxes of material. They claimed that they were looking for evidence prior to the hearing, and our house was under the most stringent bail conditions in Canadian history, including surveillance cameras and mail and phone intercepted on top of numerous ones, which I can list. And I forget my fifth, but there's five reasons why the government should have lost on the abusive process, because they have done so many errors from the beginning. I mean, they have just been abusive of the process since the beginning, and they haven't been truthful about the process.
Mm-hmm. And the lawyers also make the argument that, or your lawyers make the argument that the security certificates are unconstitutional.
Correct.
And the Supreme Court, I understand, has already ruled that.
They ruled in 2007 that the process that was there before was unconstitutional. After that, they made cosmetic changes to a law that was not working by giving us special advocates. And in Great Britain and UK, some special advocates have quit over the process because basically once you have a special advocate, they have the right to see the secret evidence, but they cannot discuss with the detainee or their public counsel. So the secrecy remains. And we found out through that process that the informant failed the lie detector test, and we thought that his credibility was going to be cross-examined in secret proceedings, which wasn't the case. And the special advocates don't have access to all human sources. All they have are their matrix files, so they don't get to test their credibility on a stand, in secret, in camera, where nobody can see them.
I understand that the evidence was heard by two different judges.
The first time was heard by Justice Dawson,
uh-huh.
And that decision was upheld in March of 2005. Then we won the Supreme Court of Canada, where the certificates were basically kind of put on hold until the new law was created. And then we were issued a new judge, Justice Noel, who upheld the certificate on December the 9th.
So both judges heard the same evidence but had different...
Well, I'm not sure if they saw exactly the same evidence. I think maybe under the new process, the second judge might have seen a little bit more, but that evidence is kept secret and it's not tested properly. Oh, and the other thing is some of the information that they use comes from or derives from torture.
The government has now issued a deportation order for Mohammed, but his lawyers say they need time to appeal Judge Noel's latest decision, which they have the right to do. How will this be resolved?
Well, actually, my husband's been under deportation threat since 2002 because when a certificate is issued to you, it becomes an automatic deportation order. But that they made it official last week by giving him some papers saying that he is not admissible to Canada and that he will be deported. In the meantime, we received news from the court that we will have the opportunity to appeal. What's happened in the appeal process is that we had to have certified questions approved by the same judge who ruled on the reasonableness of the security certificate. So basically we have to get permission from the exact same judge who upheld my husband's certificate on the lowest standard of proof in Canadian court to see if we were going to be appealing at the Federal Court of Appeal, and we were given that permission, thank God. But we've been living with a cloud over our heads for the past 8 years now, and my husband has very difficult time sleeping, eating, focusing. My family was devastated, and... it's been extremely, extremely difficult, especially to lose a second certificate because, like I was saying, we had the best experts in the world. The CSIS had abused so much the process, and supporters and organizations and legal experts across the country were shocked with the development in our case, with everything that's been in the news, that we could still lose a case like that because if it wasn't a criminal case, for example, if you destroy one piece of evidence or you use information that comes from torture, the case doesn't stand in court. But they use all of it. I mean, you know, if you listen to solicitor client, that's illegal. And CSIS and CBSA did that until they were caught, you know, and they kept doing it in some cases. So we live every day with a cloud. And if my husband goes back to Algeria, he faces serious risk of being tortured or even dying because he's been labeled by the Canadian government. So he faces great risk if he's returned there. And it's been monitored, and Amnesty International and other human rights groups have followed the cases of individuals that have been deported to countries like Egypt, Syria, Algeria, and people disappear, they're tortured, they're in prison. I mean, they suffer great consequences.
Mm-hmm. So you think there's a very high risk that he will be tortured?
Well, for two reasons. He left his country for a reason because of the political situation. So he fled his country when he was a member of the FIS, but the Canadian government alleges he's a member of the GIA, which is not true. He was a member of the FIS as a student. And number two, he goes back labeled a terrorist now. So the allegations, you don't have bigger allegations or more serious allegations than allegations that you're related to Bin Laden Network or to any terrorism activity. And that's all only based on secret evidence.
And now you're part of a campaign to eliminate security certificates, what some call secret trial certificates. When you approach a person to support the campaign, what reasons do you give for eliminating these security certificates?
Well, my question has always been very simple. I mean, if somebody questions the process, I always turn the question back at them and tell them, listen, if you were in my husband's shoes and you were detained for years without charge, without access to the evidence, would you accept the process? And everybody says no. Nobody wants to detain for years without charge and without knowing the full case against them, where they can face the accuser in an open court where all Canadians can see the evidence. So most Canadians say no to that. There will always be some ignorant people out there who said, oh, he came in with a fake passport and stuff like that. But people are not aware that that's what refugees do. And my husband, when he came to Canada, he declared his passport. Immigration has notes. He declared his fake passport. He declared his real passport. That's how he came to Canada. But the media doesn't cover that. And, you know, they say things like it's a marriage of convenience and things like that. So my husband and I, we married for the right reasons. And I wouldn't be doing this with him if I didn't believe in due process. And not only do I believe in his innocence, but you need to believe in due process. We have a democracy here in Canada, and there's a criminal code, and people should be charged, and they should know all the allegations, all the evidence, because all we have are allegations against them. So, you know, the majority of Canadians believe in due process and democracy, so that's why it's been easy for me to keep motivated and keep fighting for this cause, because a lot of people believe that in a Canadian democracy, you do deserve due process, and Canadians should know the truth. They should see the evidence on the table. CISA should not be afraid to put it for national security reasons. That's, you know, there's no balance between the security certificate and national security reasons. We cannot protect national security when it comes to human life like that and the impact it has on it. I believe that there should still be some laws, but I also believe that there should be due process. And for those who don't believe in it, then I wouldn't want them to be in my shoes. I was a prisoner in my home for almost 4 years with my husband because I was under house arrest with him. I had to supervise him 24/7. And I was a prison guard to my own husband. And I've been through the process with him. And not only he's been affected, it doesn't affect only refugees and immigrants. It affects Canadian families that are married to these men, their families, the people that love them, the people that work with them. It affects everybody.
Are you finding a lot of support for you and your husband?
We already have a lot of support. That's what keeps us going. You know, we may have lost some faith in the Canadian system, but we have never lost faith in the Canadians, because that's what keeps me strong and motivated, is that we feel support from across the country. We have international support from people that do believe in due process, and they want the truth to come out, and we don't think the truth came out last time with the last decision. And so that's what keeps us going. And there's so many people out there that believe that we deserve a better process and a fair hearing. So we're so thankful that we have so many supporters out there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do this every day. I wouldn't be able to get up every day and keep motivated if I didn't know that people were behind us.
And what can our listeners do to help in your campaign?
Well, there's a few things. You can visit our website, justiceforharcat.com. You can also contact your MP and ask them to abolish security certificates or give us a fair trial under the criminal code, where the individuals are charged and given full access to the evidence so that all Canadians can know. And please, if you believe that secret trials in Canada and security certificates should be abolished, we invite you to go on our new website, which is harkatstatement.com. Harkat is spelled H-A-R-K-A-T, statement.com, all in one word. And sign a petition, add your name to the thousands of Canadians and groups and organizations, unions, and the prominent individuals that have taken a stand against secret trials in Canada and endorsed the statement. We need lots of support. Time is crucial. We can all make a difference if we all stand up. I think we've seen some very beautiful examples of what's going on in the Middle East. If we all stand up, we can make a difference.
Well, thanks very much for speaking with me today, Sophie, and best wishes to Mohammed for his efforts to win the right to a democratic procedure and to remain in Canada.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Sophie Harkat, human rights activist and wife of Mohammed Harkat. To get more information on the case and to support the campaign to abolish the use of security certificates in Canada, go to the website justiceforharkat.com. To send contributions, make checks payable to Justice for Mohammed Harkat Committee and mail to 14 Perkins Street, Ottawa, Ontario, K1R 7G5.